Today I wish to continue to speak of the great prophetic outline our blessed Lord gave on the Mount of Olives, as recorded for us in Matthew 24 and 25. Our first two messages had to do with the first 14 verses of Matthew 24, which brought us to the middle of the seven-year tribulation period. We have been noticing that all this chapter 24 through verse 44 has to do solely with Israel in the Jewish age and the time of the end. It is an answer to the disciples' question, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age?" It was the age they knew of, and the Lord speaks to them on this basis, the fulfillment of which will bring Israel once again into blessing. In the first 14 verses, we notice the events fall into the beginning of the ending of the Jewish age, the seven prophetic years yet future. But soon, I do believe, for the coming of the Lord for his saints is right at the door, I do believe that period will begin. Now, with verse 15 of Matthew 24, we reach the middle of this period yet future. 3.5 years will have passed, and the second half, with its great and mighty events coming on the earth, culminating with the visible coming of the Son of Man from heaven to earth to judge the world, are described. The second half of these 7 years, the last 1,260 days, or 42 months, or 3.5 years, is the Great Tribulation, or the time of Jacob's trouble, as so termed by Jeremiah, chapter 30 and verse 7. This, as I shall seek to show, has nothing to do with the church at all, but solely applicable to Israel in a future day after the church is removed to heaven at the rapture. It'll be well to read a few verses of Matthew 24, beginning with verse 15. "When therefore ye shall see the abomination of desolation, which is spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place," he that reads, let him understand, "then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let not him that is in the house come down to take the things out of the house. And let not him that is in the field turn back to take his garment. But woe to those that are with child, and those that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight may not be in winter time, nor on the Sabbath, for then shall there be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall be. And if those days had not been shortened, no flesh would be saved. But on account of the elect, those days shall be shortened." Matthew 24:15-22. Now the Lord wants us to understand these words, and the mention of Daniel the prophet suggests special attention must be given to what the Holy Spirit wrote through Daniel. Now it's not our purpose to fully enter into Daniel's prophecies, but a thought or two pointed out will show what the Lord had in mind in Matthew 24. There are three places in Daniel we read of a future abomination of desolation. The first is in Daniel 9:27, and I quote, "And he shall confirm a covenant with the many for 1 week," that's 7 years, "and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and because of the protection of the abomination shall there be a desolation." Then in chapter 11, verse 31, "And forces shall stand on his part, and they shall profane the sanctuary, the fortress, and shall take away the continual sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate." And then in chapter 12:11, "And from the time that the continual sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." Now there can be no doubt that the Lord in Matthew 24:15 refers to these three passages in Daniel, and it is of that abomination mentioned of which he speaks. These three verses refer to the same period of time, a period of 3.5 years. The same time is mentioned in Daniel 7:25, and I quote, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hands until the time and times and the dividing of times. And that makes 3.5, you see. And then too in Daniel 10:7, it is mentioned again, it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now I just say that when we come to the book of the Revelation, we shall notice the same period referred to there. I feel, however, now that we should more fully enter into the first reference to Daniel, chapter 9, 24 through 27. Daniel was meditating on the word of the Lord as given in Jeremiah about the captivity in Babylon, and he was praying, confessing. God sent his angel to assure him his prayer was heard and gave him the answer. And the answer is the revelation relating to 70-year weeks. That is 70 times 7, or 490 years, which were to come upon his people Israel. Now, I would ask that my listeners open their Bibles to Daniel 9 and please follow along as we seek by God's grace to unfold by the Spirit this most important backbone of Scripture prophecy. I read beginning Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, 70 sevens, as it is in the Hebrew, make 490. This is the time Gabriel declares that is apportioned out for the people of Israel in Jerusalem. Then at the close of these 490 years, full blessing would come to Israel, and the everlasting righteousness, the coming, would refer to the coming millennial reign of Christ. That, in substance, is the outline proposed or determined upon Daniel's people, Israel, and the holy city, the earthly Jerusalem. But now let us read on, beginning with verse 25 of Daniel 9. And we shall see that these 70 weeks, or 490 years, are divided into three divisions. The first is 7 weeks, or 49 years. The second is 62 weeks, or 434 years. The third is 1 week, or 7 years. Let us read verses 25 and 26. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after the 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, or rather, shall have nothing, that is, no kingdom. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and unto the end thereof shall be with a flood or overflow, and unto the end thereof war and desolations are determined. Now, the first 7 weeks, that is 49 years, is a time that elapsed from the command that Artaxerxes gave to Nehemiah to rebuild Jerusalem until its walls were finished, 49 years. The next 62 weeks, or 434 years, is the period of time from the restoration of the city of Jerusalem and its walls until Messiah was cut off, that is, when Christ was crucified, and there was nothing for him. His own people rejected him. And then in consequence of that rejection, the city and the sanctuary was to be destroyed by the people of the prince that shall come. Wars and desolations, persecutions and troubles, bloodshedding and suffering were to be the portion of the Jewish people after their rejection of the Messiah. And this prophecy is not only stated here, but found throughout the prophetic word, and has so solemnly come true for nearly 2,000 years. Now, the people who destroyed the city and the sanctuary were the Romans. This occurred in A.D. 70 when Titus overthrew Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, killed many of the Jewish people, and scattered them. But now, after Messiah was crucified, the 69th week ended. The Jews have been scattered to all corners of the earth. Their cry, "His blood be upon us and upon our children," has been fulfilled for nearly 2,000 years. Jerusalem has been trodden down by the Gentiles. This is an indefinite period. It's the present age in which we live since Pentecost. God's gracious offer of full and free salvation to all, Jew and Gentile alike, is given for the gathering out of a people for His name, the church. How soon this period of grace may end, no one knows. But we do know that when the church is complete, the day of grace will end with the rapture, the coming of Christ to the air. Then the Jews who were set aside as God's witness on the earth upon the rejection of Christ will be brought into prominence, and Jewish history in prophecy will be resumed. The Jewish age will close with the 7 years of tribulation, and this will be followed by the millennial reign of Christ of righteousness and peace will come in with Israel restored to Jehovah. But now, what are some of the things that will take place in that last 7 years, the time indicated by the disciples' question about the end of the age, the Jewish age? Now, first of all, I think I should seek to clarify the distinction between the two princes that are mentioned in Daniel 9, 24, and 27, about whom we read. Now, the one prince, Messiah, the prince, is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, who was cut off or crucified in the midst of his days and had nothing. The other prince, the one mentioned in the expression, "the people of the prince that shall come," is the counterfeit prince, the false prince. He will be the head of the Roman Empire revived in its last form of a 10-kingdom power, of which we read in many parts of the prophetic scriptures. You see, it says it was the people of the prince that shall come that destroyed the city in A.D. 70. It was the Roman power that destroyed the city. And it is from that power, revived in the end times, that a prince will arise in the future. Up to now, that prince has not appeared. But when he does come, he will be the leader of the confederacy of the Western nations which inhabit the territory of the Roman Empire. Well, even now we see the groundwork already laid in the forming of the European common market. Now, when this man shall arrive, the head of the revived Roman Empire, he will make a covenant with the Jews gathered back in their land as they now are, in unbelief. In Daniel 9:27, we learn he shall confirm a covenant with the many for 1 week. Now notice it will be with the many of the apostate unbelieving Jews, not with all the Jews, for there will be a believing Jewish remnant who will know the time and the true personality of the wicked prince and refuse to enter into that covenant. The many will have received the Antichrist, who will be revealed after the rapture. He'll take his place in his temple in Jerusalem and proclaim that he is God. He will be the one Jesus spoke of as coming in his own name and would be received as the false Messiah, whereas Jesus came in his Father's name and was rejected. Now, the political ruler of the Western world, who will arise and claim to have the answer to the world's problems, will make a covenant for 7 years to protect unbelieving Israel and their false king, the Jewish Antichrist. Undoubtedly, this is to be protection from the enemies of Israel who are backed by Russia today. This covenant will run smoothly for a while, but in the middle of the week, that is, that seven-year period, after 3.5 years, he will break the covenant and cause the sacrifice and oblation, which will have been reestablished in unbelief, to cease. And in the place of these Jewish sacrifices, an image of the political beast will be set up in the temple. Now I believe that this will be the abomination of desolation that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24:15, and of which Daniel has prophesied. It'll be idolatrous worship in the Jewish temple. Now, let us briefly turn to Revelation 13. Time does not allow to go into this chapter thoroughly, but I ask my listeners to please read it with the following remarks in mind. Verses 1 to 10 have to do with the beast out of the sea, or from the Gentiles, and it refers to the political ruler of the revived Roman Empire, the United States of Europe. Apostate Christendom at that time, left behind at the rapture, will worship him, verse 8. They will not have had their names written in the book of life. Oh, let me stop and ask here, my friend, have you had your name written in the Lamb's book of life? It's not on some church roll, but in the Lamb's book of life. If not, if Christ comes and you're left behind, you will be amongst this company who will worship this image, one who will blaspheme God and have power for 42 months, 3.5 years. And then verses 11 to 18 have to do with the beast out of the earth. He will be the religious ruler, the false Christ, the Antichrist, who will be received by the apostate Israel. He'll be a Jew. Coming out of the earth indicates that, along with Daniel 11. He also will make an image of the first beast with whom he had made a covenant, and he will set this image up in the temple to be worshipped. See verses 13 to 15. And those who will not worship the image will be killed. And no one will be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast in their right hand or in their forehead. And the number of this beast will be 666. Both these beasts, the political ruler of the Western world and the religious ruler of the Jews, the Antichrist, will be energized by Satan himself, who will have been cast to earth in the middle of the seven-year period at the beginning of the last 3.5 years, as we read in Revelation 12 and verse 9. And this trinity of evil will bring the great tribulation, or the time of Jacob's trouble, which will affect the whole world. And as Jesus said in Matthew 24:22, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, that is, the 144,000 of Israel, these days shall be shortened to 1260. Satan's deception will seek to turn many to many false Christs, said to be hiding in secret places. However, as we shall see, the coming of the true Christ, the Messiah, will not be in secret. We read in verse 26, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24:26. Behold, as Revelation 1:7 tells us, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Those that do, having rejected him, when they see him, shall call for the rocks to fall upon them, to hide them from the face of the Lamb who will come as a judge. Now all this relates, you see, to the events of the Jewish age of 7 years yet to be fulfilled, of which Jesus speaks in Matthew 24, 1 through 44, ending with the appearing of Christ with all the saints at the close of that age. The church, I repeat, will have been caught up out of the world before this tribulation of 7 years begins, and will come with him, as we shall see, God willing, and consider in our next broadcast.